Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Thursday. I, for one, think this week is flying by. I'm very pleased with how this is playing out. Already Thursday, January 21st, 2021, one day closer to the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium. My name's Stephen St. John. Nate Bucati's here. Jake Gutierrez is with us. And we are so glad that you are with us. Championship week. We're getting close. We're getting so damn close. I could smell. Well, actually, I still can't smell anything.
Is that true?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Go ahead and make fun.
No, I'm not making fun. That's terrible. I'm sorry.
So the... I feel like it's too much information, but how shall I go about this?
You're dropping farts on everybody in your house and just enjoying it?
No.
That's one benefit.
There's a couple of occurrences.
Then the next question is why not?
Yeah.
Where unnamed dog and or cat have pooped in the house. And I just walk right by it, and I don't, you know, just going along with my business. I don't, you know. And so then everyone's, can you not smell that? You just walk, you don't smell that? And I go, no, I don't. This room smells like poop. I don't. And I'm not, this isn't one of my, you know. My ploy is to just not want to clean up something. I do have those.
My kids might have that.
Right. But I really don't, you know. There are some things that I can a little bit pick up a whiff of, you know. I've been getting, I'm really into candles.
Scented candles, huh?
Yeah. I wouldn't. It's because one of the few things I can smell, you know, and so I bought. And they say it's almost like, this is so dumb, like therapy, you know, for your smell to try to
aromatherapy,
you know, waking your smell buds
that's
back
an
up.
Absolute real thing. It's an absolute real thing.
So, we went to the candle store, and so I went and just, you know, I go to pick out all the different candles and to see what I could smell. Like, some of them I can't smell, like, not at all. And so we went through, like 30 of them or whatever, and I picked out some, like, I smell, like, I have one, my favorite one right now, that I will light in the 7 o'clock hour, sun-washed citrus I can smell.
So not to dive too deep into this, but what you're describing is something for the first time that I heard earlier this week, and it's somebody who had COVID, and he says his smell has returned to things that he likes to smell, but he can't smell bad odors.
Good.
Well, that's kind of nice.
Well, that's what he first said. He said, at first, I really liked it, but now, you know, I'm just smelling the good stuff, so everything just smells good, and so I don't know what bad smells like anymore. So
it's weird, dude.
There's no relation
to it. If there's no bad, then there can be no good,
right? That's what his point was.
There's like, no darkness, there can be no light.
Right.
And I can't smell everything good. Like, there's some food, like when Susan's cooking, like, oh. Yeah, that smells good, or like something like I have no like.
Hey, what about your taste?
I'd be right next to it. You know what? That's again some that's better than the smell is. Most of that's back, but I've never really had any taste. If you ask most people, so whatever. Yeah, so we're getting there. But hey, here's what we'll start the day. We'll be very. This is, I think, something very important for everyone. I know you do this. Because I've been dealing with quite a few complications. Jake will tell you I complain to him almost every morning, and I think he has me on mute most of the time. But that's fine.
In my mind, he's
listening to me and nodding his head.
I'm your personal producer therapist.
Theater of the mind.
Poor Jake has to deal with you airing your grievances out to him in one speaker, and then me doing it in the talkback in another speaker, all at the same time.
Guess what, guys? Great day, Woo. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than right here.
But I'm going to say this because I think it's important, whether or not you had COVID, for every gentleman or lady or whatever, especially our age. I'm 48. I'm getting there. And so I went yesterday to the doctor for a full, you know, blood screening, urinalysis, doing all the everything. And, you know, obviously a lot of it's, you know, having to deal with the stuff that I'm dealing with post-COVID, which, you know, you got to go to the doctor and take care of those things. They got to figure out what's, you know, what damage was done or whatever else. Scheduled my colonoscopy. All the things that maybe you don't want to do as a man. And I hopefully that's that will be a that will encourage other men out there to do that if they are between the ages of 45 and 50 and you have yet to schedule your colonoscopy, or just go in there for a physical, get your blood work, having a couple funny looking moles taken, you know, a look at the dermatologist. I'm just trying to do everything I should do that bad Steven, old Steven would just, I'm not going to the doctor for that. I'm not going to the doctor for that. I'm trying to get everything right to get in the best health possible.
You know, my kidneys feel a lot better in this position. Maybe it's just that I'm not doing any calisthenics. You know, if I did some sit-ups in the morning or bent over like this, I'd probably feel 100% better. Moon River. Whew. Thank you, Doc. You ever serve time?
No, I think they do feel like I was a little bit too eager because I asked if I needed to come in for a test run on the colonoscopy. They said that's not necessary. So I don't know. I said, I mean, do we need to practice, Doc, or is it? Do we schedule a dinner or something? I mean, can we?
Yeah.
Hello.
Warm things up a little bit first.
Hello.
Can we talk first?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you?
Can you wine me and dine me?
Whatever. And so that's all. So hey, I want all of our listeners to be healthy and to be responsible. So if you haven't done any of these things, do it for yourself and do it for your family. And so let me tell you, sometimes I have to go kicking and screaming to the doctor. But I know, Nate, you've done all that stuff. Lebo,
this week,
there's
actually,
nobody
yeah.
that I know. There's nobody that I know that loves getting a colonoscopy more than Todd Lebo. I mean, they've turned him away because, you know, they said, Todd, you just came in here last week. Like, wow, you know.
Saturday in the park. Delete that.
So, Jake, and I was talking to you, and you know what? Go to the dermatologist. Get those funny moles looked at you were talking about. Everything, right? Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's be good examples. Instead of being bad examples, good examples.
I've never been
good
before.
Examples of health.
And you'd mentioned that you made an appointment, and I was like, that's something I've had on my list of things to do, and I just haven't because, I have that history in my family. My grandma had melanoma cancer, and, you know, that both my grandmas actually. So it's something that I've been putting off, and it's something that I need to take care of. So
Do it for me because I love you. How about that?
That's right.
Deal. Done. I'll do it.
And look, and you have you should have no problem showing your moles to anyone, because remember when you injured your groin, you were ready to show that to everyone that walked in the studio. So I would think you'd have no problem.
And I'm still willing
that's not
to
even
show
a joke.
People, right?
No, when you injured your groin,
wants to see my groin when he comes in here.
Yeah, hey, do you want to see? I want to see how bad it looks. Like,
it's healed. I'll show you a picture of what it used to look like.
Yeah.
And the pants were already dropped by that time when you were asking. So
I had underwear.
All right, Kansas City, get healthy. Be ready, because we want to see the Chiefs win a whole bunch of championships. And you heard Jeremy Fowler there talking about Patrick Mahomes. And that was, and again, I will caution everyone, and Nate, you know this as well as anybody, you got very excited. You were all hot and bothered when Clyde Edwards-Helaire returned to practice last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But then on Thursday and Friday, we took the rug right from under your feet. And you were like, what happened to Clyde Edwards-Helaire? I thought he practiced on Wednesday, and then he didn't practice again, then it didn't play. And so just because someone practices on Wednesday doesn't mean that they are good to go for the game on Sunday. But things are headed in the right direction. As you heard Andy Reid say, he mentioned that Willie Gay was the only player that did not practice at all, and he's still dealing with that high ankle sprain that he suffered in the last game of the year against the Chargers. And I would that's really, besides Mitchell Schwartz, that's really the only guy that I'm not anticipating having a real chance to play. I'd love to be wrong about that, but considering the way it looked and the description of it, and we all know how long – a high ankle sprain can keep you out, and the fact that he was not even a limited participant. Maybe it'll change today, but Willie Gay was the only player on the list. Mitchell Schwartz isn't on the list, but he didn't practice, obviously. But Willie Gay did not practice. The other players that are in question, Patrick Mahomes, limited participant. Although there was there was something going on, because the first injury report listed Patrick Mahomes as a full participant. And either the NFL or the Chiefs or someone said, no, he wasn't. He was a limited participant. Wasn't he? Oh, yeah. He was a limited participant. And then the Chiefs had to send out a memo that they were going to be sending out a corrected injury list. And that was sent out. And Patrick went from full participant to limited participant. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. So, I mean, I don't know, right?
I'm sure it was just a clerical error on the first report.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Jake, was that what
it was? They just recorded they checked the wrong box.
Yeah, I think probably.
That'd be a really important.
Who's
a
the
really
clerk?
Important box. That'd be a really of all the players to get wrong. That would be a really important box to check or not check.
Well, I wonder if like, hey, he can't be a full participant because he's in the protocol. Oh yeah,
right.
I meant he limited
clerical snap. Error.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Full participant.
Nope.
What? Fully limited participant. I'm full of it. He was limited. So Patrick Mahomes limited participant, but that's good. And the injury report says concussion / toe. You don't see that combination too often, but. There you have it, Patrick Mahomes II.
How are y'all doing?
So besides the good news of Patrick Mahomes being a limited participant, we also had four more limited participants. And again, today's going to be a big day to see how they bounce back, how they recover, because again, last week, Clyde Edwards-Helaire participated on Wednesday, and then that was it. And so Bashaud Breeland listed with concussion / shoulder, limited participant. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, listed with the ankle / hip, limited participant. Rashad Fenton, underrated player, in my opinion, with a foot, limited participant. And, these are all important players in different ways, but another very important one, Sammy Watkins, calf, limited participant. So what you were looking for yesterday, except for Willie Gay not participating, that pretty good results on for yesterday for the injured players in question, five of them being limited participants. That gives you a good feeling going into today, but today is going to be a big day to see who continues to participate, who maybe elevates to full participation. But so far, so good, Nate Buchady.
Yes, very good news. Encouraging. Like you said, those are all important players. So hopefully this time around, the limited participation is followed up by some full participation at some point this week, and we can see those guys play.
Let's put Jake on the spot here. He already is on 38th the spot. Let's make him answer something first, and then, Nate, you will respond to see how close you are to Jake's choices. Jake? We take Patrick Mahomes out of the equation and Willie Gay because he did not participate.
Right.
Of the four limited participants, Bashaud Breeland, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Rashad Fenton, and Sammy Watkins, please put them in order of preference as far as, in your opinion, how much the Chiefs need that player on Sunday. If you could pick the order of return as far as most important to least important, and they're all important, but of those four, and it was left up to you, What order would you put those in?
Off the top of my head, as I write this down, I wrote Breeland first. I'm writing Fenton second. Edwards-Helaire third, and Sammy Watkins fourth. That's my
you
list.
Son of a...
Breeland, Fenton, Helaire, Watkins. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Nate Buchady, respond, please.
Well, I agree with Jake on Breeland. That would be my number one. With the receivers that the Bills have, I want my corners. Then I would go with Sammy Watkins. Then I would go with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm finding it very surprising that Jake's got Edwards-Helaire rated higher than me. And
this is shocking to me.
Yeah.
This is stunning.
Yeah. I vacillate between those two, Edwards-Helaire and
what
Sammy
do?
Watkins. I vacillate.
I got in trouble for that when I was
Don't do that on 38 the spot. We'll be right off TV in a heartbeat.
Why is it all over the shower floor?
Wow. See, that's the added step. It was unnecessary. I think people kind of got the idea, and then instead of knocking on the door, we just kicked it in. How about that one?
I have dry skin, Mom.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a
mijo,
tough one.
Mijo, where's all my hand cream? Go ahead, I'm sorry. Nope. Pamela, I don't know.
How am I supposed to know?
I didn't see it. Unnecessary.
So
I'm sorry, Augie. In heaven.
Where was I? Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Sammy Watkins. That's a tough one for me. I could go either way on that. I just went with Sammy because for some reason this time around, I feel like the Chiefs are really going to have to throw the ball to win this game. Last time they just ran it like crazy, and for some reason I feel like that's not going to be the case this time. And so I feel like Sammy Watkins can add a lot to the pass game. I think they're all important. I do. But I do think Edwards-Helaire could mean a lot to the offense coming back. So the biggest one I feel strongly about is Bashaud Breeland first. After that, small differences.
I'm with you. Breeland won. Man, I really sold Sammy Watkins as being super important because of his playoff production.
Your influence is kind of why I've gone with Sammy Watkins here.
Well, I mean, just look what he's done postseason game.
Yeah,
I learned it by watching you.
And I do think Clyde will be an important addition, his return. But I mean, is it wrong to say I really liked what I saw from Darrell Williams?
No, not at all. I mean,
that alleviated my fears about Clyde returning.
I was really
super impressed with Darrell Williams.
That's why he's lower on my list, honestly.
Yeah, I think you'd be wrong if you said you weren't impressed by Darrell Williams and what he did in the last game. I mean, he had important runs, you know, big runs. He ran physically, ran hard. I do think that it would be nice, especially considering how much we didn't see Le'Veon Bell. It would be nice to have another option out there in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, even if they split the carries, whatever, split the opportunities. They both bring something a little bit different to the table. And if they do end up in a situation where they got to run the ball a bunch again this time around, it would be nice to have more than one guy.
Those are all three different runners. They all three run differently.
Yeah.
Well, I think you just about hit it on a really good point, Nate. Clyde had a monster day against Buffalo the first time around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that needs to be factored in. Now, will it be the same defensive game plan? Probably not. But when you have a guy that ran wild against the team, I mean, that clearly you should want him back, right?
Yeah. And even if it means he doesn't have a big game this time around because the Bills have to change their focus, then that opens things up for other players on the field.
Right. That's in the Bills' minds.
Yeah.
What he did. And he will demand a lot of attention because of the fact that he had 26 carries for 161 yards. That's 6.2 yards per carry. The first game against the Bills with a long of 31. And so, yeah, they have nightmares about Clyde Edwards-Helaire running for 161 yards against them the first game. So, yeah, that's a good point. And, you know?
Although the analytics guys were saying after the game that he only had like one more or two more yards than expected, right, or something like whatever.
Stop it. Okay, here's your quick question. Who was the leading receiver? Don't look it up. Who was the leading receiver for the Chiefs when they beat the Bills 26-17 earlier in the year?
I'm going to guess Sammy Watkins.
Nothing from Sammy Watkins.
Did he not play in that game?
Maybe not. You have to look it up. But nothing.
Hmm.
Too many games. They're all, my memory's warped. So guess.
Kelce.
Okay, so he tied this other person with five catches. But Kelce had 65 yards and two touchdowns. This man had five catches for 69 yards, making him the leading receiver on the day.
Byron Pringle.
Byron Pringle had two catches for 46 yards. He was third.
D-Rob.
DeMarcus Robinson had five catches for 69 yards. Tyreek Hill only had three catches for 20 yards first time around. And Mahomes only threw for 225 because the Chiefs ran 46 times for 245 yards when they beat the Bills 26-17 earlier this season in Buffalo. We will be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38th The Spot.
Yeah, so he looked good. He's just he's in the protocol, so there's only certain things he can do, and it's a limited basis. But today is a little bit limited practice, so this fit right into what he could do. But he took all the snaps, and he feels good. So I mean, we're just gonna follow this protocol as close as we possibly can.
Welcome back. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Tim Grenhard. He's going to be with us up until Gary Lezak. Tim never likes to talk to Gary for some reason on the air. We'll find out why. Jarrett Sutton will be after Gary Lezak at 8:05. Mike DePasquale, Mike's got this, Mike's got picks at 8:45. And then Chiefs Hall of Famer Daron Cherry at 9:05. We'll also have some sound from out at Arrowhead as we get ready for the AFC Championship game coming up on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. But one note that's not football real quick I want to mention. What did everyone think of the Royals bringing back Wade Davis on a minor league deal?
Hey, you know what? Exciting. It really exciting. I don't know what he's got left in the tank, but Greg Holland, I didn't know how much he had left in the tank. They brought him back last year, and he pitched well, and I'm nostalgic. I'll never forget what Wade Davis did as a Kansas City Royal, and for the brief period of time that he was the Royals' closer, he was the most dominant closer I think I've ever seen, and that includes Quiz back in the day. What unbelievable memories. And you know what? He was great to us when we'd have him on the show with some of the charity work that he was doing in town and things like that. And so I'm excited. I don't know what he's got to offer, but what he got to lose?
I think it's
how
a
much
great
did he guy have left in the tank?
Not very much.
Right.
But
well, that's the truth. But you'd love it, though, Dave.
You're a pro at running on empty, just like right, Jackson Brown says.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I love the move. I mean, there is such little risk involved here, and I think that's a great comparison, what they did with Greg Holland. I mean, that's if you get that kind of production and that kind of return on that type of deal, sign me up. I mean,
$1.25 million,
yeah,
if he makes the roster, and then there's another potential $1.25 million
in
bonuses.
Baseball, that's peanuts, really.
That's nothing.
All right. So I think it's great. I hope the best. I mean, how awesome would that be if we saw Holland and Davis back into that bullpen. I mean, and actually performing and being productive. That would, I mean, that gives me goosebumps thinking about that.
Where's Kelvin Herrera at
right
now?
Exactly.
Can I get him?
He's available.
Get him back.
He's available. I think he was with the White Sox a little bit during this COVID season, and then they cut him, I think, in July or August.
Yeah, he was with the White Sox. They designated him for assignment July 31st. And then he signed a minor league deal with the Cubs August 6, 2020, and then was released August 26, 2020. So he is available. So I'd like to get the whole gang back together.
Baby.
Let's go.
I'm for it.
What's up, Tim Grenhard? What are you doing?
He's untangling his headphones right now, so he can't
this
hear
This is
you.
The second consecutive week where I've tried to talk to Tim, and he's been fighting his headphones. What's going on with the headphones there? What are people doing to the headphones to leave them in such
I don't know. They're all
before?
Tangled up. People should take care of their headphones. You got to take care of your headphone cords. That's
especially
where they
the
always,
cords, right?
Yeah, that's where they always go bad.
Kink.
They short out
Let's
there.
Let's blame somebody. Who's to blame here?
I don't know. Are those your headphones, Grunny, or are those somebody else's?
Those are his.
No, those are his. So he's not
Timmy.
I don't know. They're all tangled up.
Come on, Timmy. Well, that's fine. We know that Tim Grenhard's there. Let's take a break and let Tim Grenhard address his headphone situation. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Trying to collapse the pocket as a front four and play fundamentally sound on the back end. You know, Spags usually have a heck of a game plan for us. And we play fundamentally sound and limit our mistakes and force turnovers. I think we can contain these guys. Sounds easy, but it's far from easy. These guys are dynamic. You know, they got one of the better wide receivers in this game. And Stephon Diggs, he can line up all over the place. So, you know, we got to try to make sure we know where he's at. Him and Cole Beasley, one of the best slots in the game. And try to contain those guys.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucchetti with Jake Gutierrez. You know it's Thursday, January 21st, 2021. And if it's Thursday, that means Tim Grenhard is in studio. What's up, Timmy? How are you?
That's right. Good morning. What's going on, guys? How are you? You excited?
Yes, very excited. Too. But I'm anxious.
Anxious, huh?
Very anxious.
Nah, don't be anxious.
Well, I wanted to start. I don't want to wait.
That's one of the things the NFL is.
I don't want to wait.
The NFL is so great for so many reasons, but one of them is that you have to wait all week for the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yep. You do. And you know, especially after especially after last week, you know, that Patrick Mahomes going down and listen, I knew that was going to be a tough game. We talked about it last Thursday. I thought the Cleveland was going to come in here with a good game plan. They do a lot of things well that the Chiefs don't defend against very well. There's obviously the run game and some of the tight end passing and that kind of stuff. So I knew that was going to be a tough game. That was a game that really worried me more than any game in this playoff series or this playoff that we're going through right now is getting through that Cleveland game. I'm not as worried or as nervous about this game. Now, listen, this is a huge game. It's an AFC championship game, and there's just so much on the line. But that Cleveland team, they, you know, just something about them and something about that team coming in here with some of the confidence that they had worried me. So, yeah, I mean, listen, the arrow's pointing up on the Cleveland Browns, or as I found out, the Brownies, as I was sitting in basically the Cleveland Brown family section during the game, which was just bombarded with all the barking and the Brownies and give the ball
to
Chubby.
Did you get into it with anyone? Did you snap back at anybody?
Whose family member was the most obnoxious?
Who is the one, the wide receiver, People something, number 11?
Donovan Peoples-Jones out of Michigan.
Yeah, his family was pretty obnoxious. But, you know, listen,
there were some pretty obnoxious Peoples Jones.
There were some pretty obnoxious people.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, they were into it just like any other family member or just like any other crowd base would be into it as they made the playoffs for the first time in a long, 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 long time. And you know, they were very excited to be at Arrowhead Stadium. They weren't bad. It's just, you know, I just didn't want to listen to it.
Right.
You know, that's basically what it was. But
did you say something to somebody?
No, I didn't say anything to anybody. There's always the one guy that wants to talk to you, and I'm not sure if he knew who I was or not, but I was sitting on the end of the roll, and he was on the end of the roll across the aisle, one up. And every time I kind of look, I guess that would be east, to the east end zone, it just kind of almost like I was looking at him, and he kept like looking at me to talk to me about like different things that were happening in the game, and I refused to talk to him because he was a Browns fan. And I kept telling my son, I said, CJ, I said, this guy just wants to talk to me. He wants to go through all this stuff. And I don't want to talk to him. So, I mean,
was every person that's ever sat next to Nate Bucchetti during a game.
Well, yeah, and you know. And
half of my life is trying to avoid talking to someone, whether it be on the phone, not in person so much anymore. But that's an art, Timmy, and hopefully you were able to avoid that trap. At the game.
It was a little bit challenging, but I did avoid it. But yeah, listen, I didn't want to be a jerk, but my son and I, especially CJ, you know, Colin was there and But CJ, he's very similar to me. Is when things aren't going exactly right, he gets really quiet, and that's the way I don't like talking to people or even my family or people next to me in a game. Just like you guys probably don't. I like watching a game, and then if something happens, I'll turn. Hey, that was. Did you see that happen, Bob? But I don't want to be like small talking during the breaks or the plays because I'm trying to watch the game.
Watch the damn game.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is my challenge when I go to games. My wife Sarah, she's been with me for many, many games. She knows just to kind of be quiet and not talk to me because, just like I'm sure Susan knows your little intricacies that you have to kind of avoid. But God bless her. CJ has a girlfriend that he's been dating for about a year now, and it was the first time I went to a game with her. And she kept talking to me, asking me questions like silly questions. And I finally looked at CJ. I'm like, listen, take care of this. Right?
She didn't want to talk.
He was like, she's not talking to me, so this is great.
right?
No, nah,
he's like, sorry,
sweet.
Dad, you're stuck with her.
Yeah. He's like, I'm getting a break this time.
Right, yeah.
It was good for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but listen. The Chiefs, it's weird because, and I said this in the last couple shows too, the appetite for the Chiefs fan is not satisfied with just winning a playoff game anymore. And I think that's a great thing, but I also think that that's a lot of pressure and it really puts a lot of just the idea of winning and carrying on as a precedent for the Chiefs. So, yeah, after the game, everybody was very excited, but I want more, and we're getting more, which is great. Three AFC championships in a row at home, that is amazing. But the appetite for the Chiefs fan now has gotten to the point where, listen, AFC championships or Super Bowl are what we expect. And guess what? With Patrick Mahomes, our appetites can be satisfied.
Did you ever think?
No.
In your lifetime, that we'd be here to where that statement, what you just made is true. That Chiefs fans aren't satisfied with just winning in the divisional round. Timmy, I'd have given something. I don't know what I was getting ready to say. My left something, but I don't know about that now in retrospect. There were times that I would have given up. I would have done quite a few things to see the Chiefs win in the divisional round, and I know you feel the same way. Isn't that amazing that that's where we are now?
It is amazing, but when you do have a quarterback, I want to thank the Buffalo Bills for trading that draft pick to the Chiefs. I want to thank them for letting us move up into their spot, the 10th
That's
spot.
Right.
So we do owe the Buffalo Bills for that nice move that they let us go and get a guy. It gives us the opportunity for the next at least 10 years, have the opportunity to go to AFC championships.
That is awesome.
To play AFC championships games at home and to go to Super Bowls. And that is, I think the Kansas City Chiefs fan deserves it. I think they earned it. I think this is a great, great fan base, one of the best fan bases. And, we've gone through what Cleveland's gone through. We've gone through what Buffalo's gone through. We've gone through what some of these dry spells. And we are now at a point where we can drink from the cup of success in the NFL, and that's because Patrick Mahomes has filled it up. And we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with him a little bit later if you guys want to. But, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, you have those two. You have that combination. Then you're going to have many, many of these opportunities. And that's all it is. You got to get invited to the dance. That's what we say, hey, let's get invited to the dance and make the playoffs. I think they're always going to do that with Patrick Mahomes. And once you get to the dance, whoever's the best quarterback, who has the prettiest girl, the prettiest partner to dance with, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Got Tim Grenhard in studio. Back after this on WHB.
It looks like they're healthy. I mean, they were missing a couple guys at that time and key guys, and so I think that they've got everybody back and they're playing at a high level. I mean, they've reeled off quite a few games here in a row of victories, and like I said, they're well coached and they're a good player. So Herbie, they're playing good football right now.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I want to remind everyone that this weekend we'll be airing both the NFC and AFC championship games right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And, Timmy, how about this? The NFC championship game will be called by Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and Laura Oakman. That'll be obviously game one on Sunday, Tampa at Green Bay. And then the AFC Championship game will feature the broadcast crew of Ian Eagle, Tony Baselli, and Ross Tucker. And so that will be both games heard right here on Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Timmy, you want to talk about Patrick Mahomes? That's what everyone wants to hear about. Tell us what you know and what you think about Patrick Mahomes II and his injury issues, including that big toe.
Yeah, I think the big toe is more of a concern than anything else. And I do think that they'll probably numb it or medicate it a little bit, whether that's with some topical or even a shot in it to take away some of the pain. A lot of people do say that, you know, when you shoot up or you numb a big toe, it takes a little of your balance away, which I'll buy that. I've had that done before. I didn't feel like I had a lot of issues with that, but I was an offensive lineman and not a quarterback. So, you know, some of the stuff that he does with his feet, obviously you got to have the proper feel in order to be successful. We did have Justin Hoover on last night from Spinnet Quarterback Academy, and he talked a little bit about, you know, some of the adjustments that Patrick Mahomes can make in this game if his toe is sore and he's limping around. And, you know, a lot of it's, you know, throwing more with your hip, which I really don't understand. There's so many little things that quarterbacks do and can do in order to supplement power. Whether it's throwing with his hip or you know, balancing off a different part of your foot or using more of your shoulder or your arm release slot, whatever it is. So I'm sure that Patrick Mahomes has done this and has been in this position before. So the toe does concern me, and I'm hoping that they will be very, very conservative with him in the running game this week, like no runs at all. Unless he has to run,
no design runs,
and you know, but you know, last night Frank and I were talking about this, and Frank's like, "There's no way he's going to run the ball." And I'm like, "Well, that the Bills are probably thinking the same thing. So what is Andy Reid going to do? Probably run the ball with him." But I hope not. But Patrick Mahomes, as far as going through the concussion protocol, you know, I don't think, you know, concussions, you never know what you're going to get. They're the box of chocolates of injuries. You know, you can have a concussion that all of a sudden flares up a couple of days later. You can have a concussion that feels horrible the first day, and then the next couple of days you feel great. The thing that concerns me the most about concussions and concussion protocols, number one, is that you have to be passed by a doctor that's not part of the organization, which is a good thing. But the concern is that, you know, Patrick Mahomes could feel great on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but wake up this morning and have a headache, and he goes back to stage one. He goes back to the start of the whole process. I don't expect that to happen, but that is a possibility. So you have to be so careful with concussions. And he's going through practice, and I heard Andy Reid say, but you got to remember when Andy Reid said he was a full participant. Remember, on Wednesdays, especially this time of the year, there's no contact. They're basically running around in just helmets. So if he did everything, that's basically, you know, just kind of easy practice schedule, easy practice tempo. So I don't think Andy was trying to cover anything up and or slipped. I just think that's kind of what they think when they go through a Wednesday practice. It's not really particularly practice, if that makes any sense.
We'll be right back after this on WHB. If you look at your TV screen, you see my wonderful daughters, Julia and Selena. Happy 12th birthday to the twins. I cannot believe they are 12 years old. And so, happy birthday, girls. Daddy loves you. How about that?
They're becoming teenagers.
They are my sunshine, my only sunshine. And they are very close. One more year before they're teenagers, Tim Grunhard.
Wow, with girls.
Can't believe it. I'll tell them Granny said
you'll believe it.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, tell them that Granny said happy birthday. But yeah, you'll believe it. The teen years are very interesting with girls.
Oh, boy. Happy birthday, Julia and Selena St. John. The show continues right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.